I'm Bobby Connor for South Carolina Public Radio with South Carolina Health Focus here at the Medical University of South Carolina studio in Charleston. The National Institutes of Health estimates that roughly 30% of the general population complains of sleep disruption. To talk about effective treatments for both occasional and acute insomnia is Dr. Andrea Rinn. She's a physician in the Department of Pulmonary, Critical Care, and Sleep Medicine and director of the Sleep Lab at MUSC. Dr. Rinn, what is insomnia? Can you tell us clinically what this means?
Insomnia is difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or waking up too early. It occurs despite the opportunity to sleep and is oftentimes associated with problems during the day.
And I mentioned short-term and then chronic. What's the difference?
So short-term insomnia is defined as occurring for less than 3 months, and chronic insomnia is defined as occurring for longer than 3 months, 3 nights out of the week.
Can you tell us what the latest research tells us about the most effective way to deal with both short-term and chronic insomnia?
So most of our research at this point is pointing us towards behavioral therapies for insomnia. Increasingly, we're finding that behavioral techniques are effective and in comparison to medication treatments may be superior in the long term. And so most of what we're recommending these days as a starting point for insomnia is cognitive behavioral therapy. We also use medications, and there's many FDA approved medications that may be good for some people depending on the type of insomnia, other medical problems, and other features of their insomnia. But most of the time, we're starting with cognitive behavioral therapy.
Can you tell us very briefly what that looks like? What does it really mean?
So in patients with insomnia, oftentimes we're going to start with sleep hygiene. And sleep hygiene involves things like avoiding the television, keeping the telephone out of the bedroom, avoiding computers, turning off lights at night, and making sure your environment is comfortable for sleep. It may involve avoiding caffeine and nicotine and alcohol. Many people who've come to us have already tried those techniques, and oftentimes the next step is talking about more extensive treatment options like cognitive behavioral therapy, where we basically reteach people how to sleep.
How long typically for someone to get the hang of that?
It does take longer than a sleeping pill, so that's an excellent point. It usually takes about 6 weeks, some people shorter and some people longer than that time period. And again, it basically emphasizes changing those learned associations between not sleeping in the bedroom, emphasizing relaxation therapy. Sometimes we'll restrict the time in bed. Sleep hygiene is a piece of this, and basically therapy related to that person's particular sleep problems.
And just briefly, I feel I have to ask you, what about over-the-counter sleep medications that many people look for as an easy answer?
So over-the-counter medications are used by many patients. We worry about over-the-counter sleep medications because they can result in next-day sleepiness. They can result in dry mouth. And usually after several days, they are no longer as effective as they may have been on night one. And so long-term studies are lacking for these over-the-counter medications.
Dr. Rinn, thank you so much for providing this update about insomnia.
Thank you for having me.
From the Medical University of South Carolina studio in Charleston, I'm Bobby Connor for South Carolina Public Radio.